Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Podcast starts now. Wow. Welcome back to Stradiolab, America's favorite podcast.
We are coming at you, and I'm sorry to date the episode, but there's no way around it. This is going to come out in, you know, a month or two, but it is Oscar Sunday, and the Oscars are taking place mere blocks from where we are right now.
Mere blocks from where we are, and how do you feel in relation to that?
You know, it's interesting. I've been feeling this way a lot during this LA visit, where I'm kind of like, I feel too close to it all. I'm seeing billboards for shows that I think don't exist.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are, because you know how sometimes they'll put billboards up close to celebrities' houses just so they think their movie is being promoted more than it actually
is? Yeah.
I think there's something like that happening. I saw a billboard for a show. Well, first of all, our producer sent us an image that she took, a picture, one could say a photograph, of a billboard that said, Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah. Fake.
That is not real.
That seems
Why would you need to go to an island to do Deal or No
It doesn't
deal?
Matter where it is.
It's in a studio.
It's on a set.
And how can you even make that competitive? There's like suitcases hidden everywhere. I mean, now I'm sort of on board.
Well, that's a different game, though.
That's a different game. It's not Deal or No Deal. On my way here, I saw another one for Farmer Needs a Wife.
That's a show.
You better believe it's four farmers and they need wives.
There's four
it's
of them.
It's called Farmer Needs a Wife.
Wow.
Maybe it's Farmer Wants a Wife, but it's intentionally, you know, the syntax is intentionally, you know, stupid, ironically. Like,
no,
it's
no.
Farmer Wants a Wife, Farmer
sure,
Needs
sure,
a
sure.
Wife.
I think you're pointing to something smart, which is that the geographic closeness almost makes me feel like I'm a part of it in a way that's, like, not true. Like,
totally.
Obviously, you know.
Oh, interesting, because I have the opposite feeling where I was like, I feel so out so at a distance because I'm not part of everything happening around me. It's like when you're in Midtown, everyone's walking around in a suit and you're so aware of the fact that you are, you know, wearing last night's going out dress.
No, I feel like, oh, the Oscars are happening over there. Like, yeah, they're my coworkers.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, oh, I relate to these people so much. Like, yeah, like Misha's in town, his dad is in town. And I'm sort of like, those are the Oscars. That happens pretty much every weekend around here.
Well, you know what? Actually, I had a similar, so I was at John's house a couple of nights ago and it turns out he's going to the Oscars.
Oh.
I was like, oh, so now that it's just sort of like in the same way that you'd be like, oh, I'm going to Union Hall for a show. Some people are going to the Oscars.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
When does it stop?
When does what stop?
When does it stop being, who's going to get like the Presidential Award of Freedom? And
oh,
I'm going to be
I see.
My friend got the Presidential Award of Freedom.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, it
keeps going
higher.
Which past guest? Is that, what would you say is like the peak of, not to be toxic, but.
Who's our most successful guest?
No. We're not saying that.
Who's our
least successful guest? What is your peak of like, the highest honor you could get?
The highest
Olympic gold medal.
Wow.
Yeah, how about
you?
Well,
you have a lot of work to do on that front.
I mean,
because you're not even in that industry.
That's why I'm getting all these experimental surgeries.
That's right. You're getting a lot. I heard gossip about someone, I won't say who is banned from all hospitals in New York because they kept getting too many elective surgeries.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you.
Wait, you said somebody said something stupid and you were going to dox them before we started.
Okay, this is really controversial. And
then I have a theory that is inappropriate, but I do need to share with
you. Okay, we also do need to bring in our guests.
Of course.
We're already planning the next four things we're going to do. Okay. All right.
And then we should get lunch.
We're getting lunch. I'm intermittent fasting, actually. So See you at 4 p.m.
See you at 4.
Okay. Apologies if the person I'm talking to ever finds this podcast. I don't think they will, but I just have to say that. You know when sometimes you have an LA interaction that is truly out of like a movie that is making fun of LA?
Yeah.
So I was talking to someone. This is someone who works in the entertainment industry, not to brag.
Huge.
In an executive role.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. And so he was trying to say, he was talking about like some heyday of TV or something. He was like, you know, the NBC lineup in the 90s, something. And he goes, oh, he wanted to say that was the creme de la creme of, you know, television. And he goes, I mean, that was the pied-à-terre.
Okay, this is where it gets complicated because what is that one?
Well, pied-à-terre is like, I think pied-à-terre is like having an apartment in a different city that you don't always use. Like we have a pied-à-terre in Paris.
This is where it gets complicated because you saying that almost sounded like a New Yorker cartoon.
Oh,
like, can
my
you believe
God.
He thought creme de la creme was a pied-à-terre?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot believe
he
you.
He thought the creme de la creme was a pied-à-terre.
I've told this story to four people. They've all laughed. And here I am being dragged on my own podcast for being a different coastal elite.
It's too, you were too New York. This person was too LA.
I can't believe this. I've never flopped so hard in my life.
I was trying to, I was really trying. I just didn't know what it meant.
Your story?
Well, now you're going to flop it on purpose because you want revenge. And now, okay, this is complicated. Mm-hmm. Our guest today is, you know, I mostly see in the offices of a corporate entity.
Yes.
So this feels weird to bring up, but HR doesn't extend to here, so I'm going to say it.
Oh.
Having a catheter in, which I still do, we're still in the catheter era.
And that has already been addressed with the guest. This is not the person
yes.
I'm concerning about. Okay.
So I've already addressed the catheter that yeah. exists. But I have to tell you, while it's happening, the side effect of having a catheter in
yeah.
is people everywhere are asking about your dick. People
right.
are
well,
like...
Well, literally, Kathy Griffin asked you about your dick and said the word dick while asking you.
And then, you know, like... family,
yeah,
everyone's
yeah, yeah.
sort of like, how's your dick?
Right.
And in this way that, especially with men, I feel like is like, finally I can talk about my dick in the same way that straight guys do. And this,
like was a catheter.
It's sort of like, oh man, yeah, it sucks when your dick has weird stuff in it.
Ew.
Like guys love to like relate about dick stuff in a way uh-huh. that like normally they can't because yeah. they're like, well, you get a different thing.
Wait, so have you been talking to straight guys a lot about this?
I feel like, okay, I'm mostly thinking about like Misha's dad.
Oh, sure.
Misha's
You're
dad
like,
is
finally
down.
I can relate to my
well,
father
the way that, yeah, he's sort of like, everyone sort of, and even, yeah, people, some straight guys are like, oh man, that must suck because
yeah.
our dicks, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's very like, I haven't been part of that brotherhood
sure.
in a while.
We do different things with our dicks than straight guys do.
Of course.
But this is actually something that is more similar. The most similar thing we could possibly do is we could both have catheters put in theoretically.
Yeah. And I think the pain is relatable, and I think
yeah.
the sort of like, and then the like reminiscing on like what dicks do, like they're like,
of
man, because normally I love my dick,
right?
And it's like
right.
so true, mm-hmm. and it feels very, it's like horny removed from sexuality.
Yes.
And it's like that, and so that's sort of my new theory, is it's unlocked something.
Do you think that a way to combat homophobia would be a sort of elective catheters for all so that straight men could relate to gay men?
I actually think the government should mandate it, as always.
The government needs to actually step it up in a big way.
In a huge way.
Let's see how they do with the Oscars.
Get out and vote, you all.
Should we bring in our illustrious guest?
I think we should.
I think you should do the honors.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Today we are joined by the Taylor Tomlinson. Hi.
Welcome, Taylor.
Hi. Can I just say,
please,
the most confident thing I've ever seen doing an intro to the podcast in front of your silent guest. That is, I mean,
thank you for bringing this up.
We're actually really good at doing it.
You're really good at it. I mean, it's crazy.
We've debated over the years, yeah, like, do we like record this ahead of time? Do we record this after?
Like most people do.
Like in a normal thing.
Yeah.
But I actually really think people need to understand the tone that we're coming in with.
And I really like sort of, I like, and I was doing this with you, sort of like peeking at the guest, being like, she's laughing.
Yeah. I know, but I can't make noise.
I know.
So I had to like really exaggerate those movements.
Well, it's also, it's like a social experiment where sometimes guests, there are some guests, not you, that are so like triggered by not hearing the sound of their own voice that they can't help it, and they do keep
and they
like
just
butting
jump
in.
Mm-hmm. So this was a test and I passed.
It's a test and you passed. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And yeah, we were even debating, sometimes we'll have like, not to keep talking about Kathy Griffin, but yesterday we were like, was Kathy Griffin too famous for us to do that with her?
Right.
But we did.
Speaking of your most successful guest,
I was like,
well, I know it's not me.
And the way that, I don't feel self-conscious about it anymore.
I don't either.
That's what's so impressive, is you don't come across, I've done podcasts and I would never do that.
Yeah,
I'd be
totally
like, we're going to record one later, it's fine, and we're just going to talk about how great you are. Anyway, let's just get into
so
it.
So many people tell us, I would never do that.
I loud and clear.
It went well. It wasn't uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. I'm not criticizing. Mm-hmm. I'm actually in awe of the choice.
Thank you very much.
Wow, beautiful.
It just is a testament to how comfortable we feel with you.
But it isn't, though, because it's every episode. I'm like, that was a nice try.
That was really nice.
Well, it also, it could be interpreted as like a insult. Like, we feel, it's like, oh it's good. It's natural that she's silent. Like, did she speak? Wait, Taylor, if you had to, would you watch Deal or No Deal Island or Farmer Needs a Wife?
I've seen that also.
Oh.
I've seen that.
Billboard.
No,
okay.
Not the show. Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, God.
Can you imagine if I was like, that's my favorite show?
Yeah, I love it.
I haven't seen the Farmer one, but I've seen the Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah.
And the host is like is it a famous actor?
Oh, is it?
I forget who it is.
Wait.
But I remember looking at it and I'm like, oh, it's that guy.
Damn it. Well,
I'm not going to look it up.
We're not
I should
look
know
up.
Every game show host by now.
Yeah.
I should
that's
know.
Right.
I should have
You're in the biz.
Wait,
I'm in the biz.
Literally, we actually shouldn't make fun of it because it's a peer of yours.
It's I'm trying to get to Deal or No Deal Island.
I mean,
this is a stepping stone. After
Deal or No Deal Island would be literally the dream.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's clearly somebody just wanted to go on vacation and wanted to make it tax deductible. And so they're like, Deal or No Deal Island.
And wanted it to be the easiest game possible. Yeah. Is it this briefcase or this briefcase?
Paid for the... Oh my God, who is it? It's Joe Manganiello?
Yes.
Whoa.
Sofia Vergara's ex.
Oh.
Drama. I'm suddenly a gay E! News host. Sofia Vergara's ex is hosting Deal or No Deal Island months after the divorce.
But
he's
hot,
though.
No.
You know what his big thing is? He loves Dungeons and Dragons.
Really?
Wow.
Did you see that movie?
Nope.
That
I
movie,
did, actually.
It was so good.
It actually was good.
It was great.
It was funny.
I think he was in it.
He probably
would.
I don't remember.
You wouldn't remember.
Why do you know that that's his big thing?
Because of a podcast I listen to. Not this one.
Wow.
We would not break news like that here.
No.
I don't remember him being in it.
Really?
But, yeah,
no,
and I saw
either.
It a few times.
Oh, okay.
Really?
I loved that movie.
Wait, why? What's
I thought
about
it was so good. I just thought it was so funny.
Previously Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I knew nothing about Dungeons and Dragons at all. There's like one part, you don't have to be a fan to enjoy that movie.
No, you don't.
There's one part where you're like, they're making fun of the game right now.
Right.
But it's obvious to a non-player, and then someone who is a player of the game was like, right there, they did it, you know? They did a great job.
I'm gonna watch it.
I was very jet lagged and I just like wanted to go see a movie, and I looked up reviews for stuff because I thought it was gonna be terrible. I remember the trailer came out and I was like, what? We're doing board games now? And then I saw it and I was like, I stand corrected. This is the best comedy I've seen in years.
Do you feel that you have more respect for game show hosts now that you are in their community?
Honestly, yes.
I mean, it seems like such a difficult job.
But yes. Yeah. Not that ours is a real game show at all. Like, I can't imagine managing people's feelings as they are winning and losing.
Yeah, that would be
great
tough.
Sums
and
of
it's
money.
Like real people that flew in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is comedians. This is not real people.
Yeah.
We're all
no.
being dumb, you know. People are trying to win handfuls of almonds.
It is scary, though, when sometimes you're like, oh, that person actually wanted to win. I'm like,
oh yeah,
like, because not everyone is that, and then when you do get that and they don't, and you're like, they're gonna be upset for like 12 hours.
Oh, I made sure Tig won. I was like, Tig Notaro was gonna be upset. Tig was actually very competitive.
Yeah,
in
that
a way
does not surprise me.
I did not see coming.
Yeah,
and so I was like, let's make sure Tig wins.
That is so funny.
You heard it here first. It's rigged.
It's rigged. It's rigged.
It's tigged.
It's tigged.
Tig or no Tig Island. Woo. Okay. What are you gonna say?
No, I've also been like, now I like look at all like any talk show, I'm like, oh, the work that you guys do. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah. No, I feel like I have probably the easiest job on the show. I think you guys have the hardest job by far. Like,
I don't think that's true.
Really? Who do you think is the hardest job?
I feel like you
maybe
do.
Graphics. People keep telling me that, and I'm like, I show up and I get someone else dresses me, someone else brushes my hair, I read. Everyone's like so impressed I can read a teleprompter. I'm like, I didn't write any of this. Like,
but you are good at reading it.
Thank you so much.
And I'm not, you are very good at reading it.
Thank you.
It's very impressive. And even like, but for me, it's more like the mood. I've actually wanted to talk to you about this because
I know. That's why I wanted to do this podcast. And I wanted to meet you, of course, George.
Of course.
But I was like, I never get any time to talk to anybody because like we go into that read through in the morning and you guys are working before that. So I don't want to come in and be like, hey, guys, want to talk? You're like, we're kind of in the middle of something trying to make you look good tonight. And then it's like this big read through where it's everyone. And so even like trying to make jokes is very intimidating because when they don't land, you're like, that was in front of everyone I work with. And then like everybody's just prepping guests and like I'm in hair and makeup and it's just, it moves so quickly.
There's not much downtime.
Yeah.
But I feel like it seems very hard. Like I would struggle in your position with like maintaining a normal mood. Like,
oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like you are like, you have to be like on with people kind of all day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it helps that everyone who works on the show is so great. Like,
yeah,
that's a big reason I wanted to do the show is like everybody just kind of top to bottom is lovely to work with. And it's nice to come in and see everyone. But yeah, I mean, that is the thing that I was most worried about and has been the biggest challenge is just like based on I have social anxiety. So like figuring out like when to go in and bother people, when to not bother people and say, hi, thanks for doing the show. Because they're obviously working really hard with the writers so that they go out and they feel like they have a lot of material to go off of because we've seen when people aren't prepared how well that goes.
Some people love to riff.
Some people love to riff. There's really only been like one person who came in and wasn't ready. But otherwise everyone's pretty prepared. It's just like, yeah, it's interesting to, I'm really glad Marianne's been booking people who know each other.
Yeah.
Because that really helps. When they all don't know each other and then they don't know me, it's just like for random disconnected people being like, do you think this is a good Reddit? So do you think this is a real subreddit? Do you think Hillary Clinton's ankles are a community on Reddit?
It's supposed to be like, we're all friends. So when there's so clearly no connective tissue, it's kind of glaring.
Yeah.
And I do agree. She's doing a good job at that.
Yeah.
It feels so nice when that is like, oh, we're all a friend group.
Who are your three dream guests?
As like at the same time?
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they know each other. It'll be fun. But also there could be some tension. Mm.
The End Just Like That ladies.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes.
That would be huge, actually.
That would be so good.
Oh, and it's perfect because Samantha won't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
She'll send in a video that we can play on the big screen.
Yeah, exactly. But then she'll be paid more than everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And styled by Patricia Field.
Wow. That's
do
a
you have
pitch.
A dream guest?
Now I'm trying to think. I'm like, the Haim sisters.
Mm. Oh, they would be great. They would be great.
They actually are local. We should book them tomorrow. They've already been on camera.
They'll definitely do it.
It's so funny how, what a weird coincidence is that I used to, briefly, I worked on the show called Game Show that was hosted by Matt Rogers and our friend Dave Mazzoni. And it was literally like a fake game show where comedian guests like did fake challenges to win fake prizes. Mm-hmm. So it's so strange that we both have had these jobs that have like the exact same tone. And like we would book like, it would be like, you know, Nicole Byer and Joel Kim Booster and they already know each other and they have chemistry and blah, blah, blah. And she can like make fun of him and blah, 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 blah. But it is true that sometimes people you think are going to be good are not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much everyone we've had, I think, has been good and like down to do it.
I've mostly been impressed because even, you know, I'm a hater.
First and foremost. I get that from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're from New York.
Of course. I've got to be a little cynical.
You know, we need to talk about our evolving identities as haters. I'm really trying to not be one. And the other day, I watched something that was so bad that I was like, I'm going to become like a cyber bully. I'm going to join like subreddits and actually like make people
suffer.
Like suffer. I was like, I've been holding off for so long. I've really tried to go into everything with an open mind. And I'm like, enough.
Yeah. No, I'm actually turning the opposite. I'm like, the LA is like seeping in. Yeah. I'm becoming like, you know, it was a good effort no matter what.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm sort of like there are people that come on the show where I'm like, have no connection to and honestly have like a unfounded disdain where I'm like, who do I think they are?
Well,
and then I'm like, but I'm always impressed. And I'm like, oh, I'm an asshole. They're actually really funny and nice.
We're very sensitive to people being like, you know, for lack of a better word, like corny or overly sincere or overly earnest. I feel like our entire 20s, we were like making fun of people like that.
Yeah.
And then you meet them and you're like, there's a reason you're successful and you have a big career and you are able to like engage an audience because you like know what you're doing. Meanwhile, we're at home being like, idiot.
Yeah.
It's also really easy to be a hater when you're in New York and like away from it all.
Well, yes.
Like now you're like at a party with that person that you've talked shit about forever and you're like, huh.
Yeah.
So this changes things a little bit.
Once they make eye contact.
Yeah. And they're nice to you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you went through a hater phase?
No, because I've just always been terrified of everybody and so worried that I was going to accidentally offend anyone or upset anyone or hurt anyone's feelings. And I started really young and I got lucky, I think, in this business really early. So I was always operating from a place of, I don't deserve anything. And I'm sorry that I got anything. Right. And I'm sorry I'm here. And I'm sorry I'm alive. And I'm sorry I'm breathing. And it should have been you. So I didn't really have that. And especially like, I definitely had people when I was younger that maybe I was a little quicker to go like, that person sucks. Or, like privately.
Sure.
But as I get older, the more I really am like, everybody's doing their best. And like, even if it's not for me, that's what people love to say out here. They go, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for them. Like, that's kind of the meanest thing.
Yeah. I had such a righteous, like, I feel like when I was younger, I was very much like, it is morally important to be critical because we have to like weed out the bad stuff to have like a healthy culture and to have like good, you know, to have like higher quality discourse and higher quality art. And like there shouldn't, it's literally like a bad thing to take up space with bad stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And now I'm like, it's a miracle anything gets made.
I mean, say that. It's also like, I think now that I know more about the processes of things getting made, I'm like, the amount of time it takes, the amount of people you have to go through, the amount of filters inherently that will happen.
Yes, but also the reason why so much bad stuff exists is because it was greenlit by people that are not, it's not like any of the artist's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well then your mandate is to literally create Farmer Needs a Wife.
Yep.
And it's literally not the fault of the people making Farmer Needs a Wife. It's like someone in the top was like, that's funny. Write that down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a job. Yeah, I think, and you know, the longer you're in this business, you know how many cooks there are in the kitchen on anything. So any bad movie you see, you're like, I wonder if that would have been good when it was just a script.
Yeah.
I wonder if we just read this aloud in a room, maybe this would have been awesome.
Totally.
Right.
But so many people wrecked it. With all kinds of casting choices and producing choices, like it's all, and just the only thing I really hate is when people don't work hard or they say, I'm a writer, I'm an actor, I'm a comedian. I hate when people say I'm a stand-up and they don't do stand-up.
Yes.
Like, that's the stuff that I'm like, I can't.
We were talking about this recently because there's a subsect of, like, I don't know if I can go into this, gay guys who are just sort of like, funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and then they're sort of like, but what, like, and they'll be like, I'm a comedian. And sort of like, yeah.
You're like, all gay guys are kind of funny.
Yeah. We're all comedians.
Yeah.
So it was like, how we sort of feel the urge to gatekeep that in a way that's like both childish and.
Well, it's also like,
true.
What counts as work is confusing right now. Cause I was always, you know, I started doing comedy in Boston, which is so traditional and so like, you're going to get up, you're going to have a punch, set up in a punchline. So I was, I think I really internalized that and was like, unless you are getting up, doing, you know, 15 open mics a week and doing set up punchline jokes, that doesn't count as comedy. And now it's like, well, if someone, I don't know, if someone's like spending hours editing some video or something, who's to say they're not working harder than I am?
Right.
Like
yeah.
writing like one thing in a notebook on the subway on the way to a show.
Right. I always hated when there was any sort of like alt comic disdain for road comics
totally,
because
yeah.
I've always been a road comic and I was always.
But you're a good one is the difference.
I mean, but maybe not always. Like, I hope so. But that's, I was of that.
Yes.
Of like, I don't even think you're a comedian if you're not on the road every weekend.
Right,
like,
right,
I
right.
was definitely like a fucking
really
one
funny.
Of these guys.
And I was the alt comic that was like, if you're on the road, you're like a hack.
Exactly.
Like, I was fully that.
Yeah, which is so annoying to me. And I was definitely more in the camp of like, but could they do 45 in Des Moines? Like, I was much more over there.
I mean,
and I like so many alt comics. Like, I think they're so brilliant and cool. And now I'm like, there's room for everybody. And whatever your approach is, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And then you just learn, you know, alt comics were multi-hyphenates and we have one skill.
Yeah.
And it's just stand-up out here.
I think that is so... I think it's funny to be the alt comic that's sort of a hater. And then through time, you just inherently get more... traditional, for lack of a better word, and like, so now there's people that like I'm sure are like more alt than me that are like, well, Sam, the hack, like
the sellout,
the sellout? Absolutely. Like, I don't even want to know what
standard.
Is going on right now in Ridgewood,
and it's like, you have no idea how I used to pour water on myself. Like,
I used to pour water on myself.
I did at a damn JFL audition.
That's right, you did.
Yeah, they
did
were
you do
they
that?
Were mad at me.
Really?
You sort of have a history of doing the things you're not supposed to do at JFL auditions.
The way my very first JFL audition, I bombed harder than I've ever bombed in my whole life. I was doing like characters and stand up and sort of like going back and forth. And it was sort of like, I guess I'll do the characters one, but they weren't like tight, like little UCB style characters. They were like kind of wild. And like, I had this character called the girl who touches her cup too much and says $1 million. So I would have like a glass, like a martini glass, and I would like just say three words and be like you, me, Acapulco, $1 million. And then I would sip and spill and go. And
so
I would
you.
Just like keep going and like just three things, $1 million, and then spill in a different way.
Yeah.
And they were furious at me. They were like, why are you wasting our time? Like, it was, I went first. Like, it was just like, they have never been more upset at a person in their lives.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy that having a sense of joy and a sense of whimsy is criminalized in this country.
I think back on that and I'm still like, I bet there's still people that hate me for that.
I think about that all the time. The things that you have done, you know, that in the moment you're like, oh, that was an embarrassing night. But there are people that like put you on a list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what's so hard about, I mean, New York, LA, like wherever you are doing stand up comedy of any kind is like, it's easy to go, nobody's thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's judging you. Everyone's judging you. Everyone is thinking about you. And one weird interaction will decide what that person thinks of you for 100%.
Years. Yeah.
Until you're at a party and you make eye contact with them and you say, nice jacket. And they're like, oh, I guess they're nice.
Yeah.
But they, like, it will be like that. Someone didn't shake my hand at the Comedy Store 3 years ago. I still think about it. And I don't know if they're mad. And I don't know if it was just a germs thing. It probably was. But... I'm still
you're
freaking
like there
out
during
it.
Lockdown. You're like, when's my set?
Yeah. It was definitely 2021.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it stressed me out. And the funny thing about alt comedy too is like it is the stuff that like other comics would laugh at because it's so you
well,
know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this is the trap is that you find yourself then as an alt comedian, dare I say, performing for other comedians more so than you're performing for the audience.
Yes.
And I actually like, this is one of the big things I've had to like unlearn, I feel like, in the last few years. It's just like, it's actually disrespectful to the audience to do that.
Yeah, because a great bit that will work everywhere, comedians aren't going to laugh hysterically at that. They're going to go, that's fucking great.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do.
Totally.
And that's, you know.
I know.
Should we do our first
segment? I have so much more to say about this, but we sometimes get into these vortexes of inside baseball.
We're like, where's
Mark Maron?
I know. We do go Mark Maron mode, and I do like it. It's fun, but we can't go too far.
Matthew said we need to have Mark Maron on the podcast, and his topic needs to be Mark Maron.
Oh, well, that's genius.
I think he would do it. Okay. He did your show.
My show?
Did he not do it? I think I did his.
Oh, yes, he did. He did.
Yeah, but I don't think that's like the same as coming on this podcast.
No, to be clear, that's not what I'm saying.
This isn't on CBS.
What I'm saying is he's doing things that are in his podcast. Agreed. It's more
he
prestigious.
He might if you went to him.
Yeah. But maybe. You know what I mean? I feel like for so long it was like he would, like, I feel like he has WTF, he has his specials. To me, it's like a big step that he went and did a game show.
He was great on it. He texted me afterward and was like, see, I can be silly.
I was very impressed.
He's very silly. I mean, talk about a true alt, you know, legend.
Alt legend.
Yeah,
alt legend.
But was on the road every weekend in clubs.
True.
So, you know.
True. It's both sides.
Yep.
The true centrist.
There is a lot to think about.
Okay, yeah. Taylor.
I'll see you in Des Moines.
I'll see you. Yeah, for real. Oh, God.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Okay, our first segment is called Straight Shooters, uh-huh. And in this segment, we're going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions to gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture. It's basically this thing or this other thing, and the only rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how the game works, or we will scream at you in a way that will violate all HR policies.
You're probably thinking now, wait, I have a question. Don't ask it.
Don't ask. Sit with that. Sit with that discomfort.
It's all about sitting with the discomfort.
Will you tell me, yeah?
Taylor.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. That's a question. I'm sorry. Okay. You're right.
Supporting PBS or suffering from IBS?
Supporting PBS.
Okay, Taylor. Intimate Moments or Entenmann's Donuts?
Oh.
Donuts.
Regressing into adolescence or obsessing over Evanescence?
Regressing into adolescence.
UCLA or You Seem a Little Gay?
Oh.
UCLA. And I'm answering as if I know the rules, and I think I know what the rules are.
Almost a question, but you
no,
put
no,
a
no.
Period,
I, that was a statement.
being self-deprecating on the stage or being eviscerating on the page?
Mm.
Eviscerating on the page.
The Bible belt, the Rust belt, or the Gucci belt?
Ooh.
Bible belt.
Chic.
Having a fully developed frontal lobe or being a bully because you're a homophobe?
The second one.
Okay. The levees are breaking or the levees are making a new family comedy. I'm, of course, talking about Dan and Eugene.
Dan and Eugene.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, Taylor, we rank our guest performance on a scale of 0 to 1,000 doves. I thought that was a good performance. I'm going to say that off the bat.
I'm going to say that off the bat
I'm
as well.
Sure it definitely is in the 700 to 1,000 range.
Yeah, which not everybody is.
Not everybody
is.
Oh
my gosh. What did Kathy Griffin get?
Well, she got 1,100, but...
Before she even started, didn't even have to play.
What do you think?
You know, I'm going to say 915 doves.
915. I think that's fair.
Wow.
It's, yeah. It's, you know, it's an A-.
Okay, you're getting I'll take it.
You're getting into UPenn.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm not asking.
Yeah.
But I think the rules were
now you can ask questions.
Oh, yeah. Is the point to pick the straighter thing?
The point is basically that there are no rules, and it's sort of like we are doing emotional terrorism on our guests.
Oh.
And so they each, everyone sort of like settles into it in their own way.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So some, you know, you have to tell a story. You have to be confident.
Well,
it really is a performance. It's sort of like a Rorschach test of like, it says something about you, which one you pick.
Oh, so what does it say about me that I'm like, I have to pick the straightest thing because you said,
so here's
how complicit are you in straight culture?
Here's what I think it says.
Yeah.
It says road comic because you are like,
yeah,
you
were like, how can
I was like,
set up punchline. Yeah.
I know what it is. That's yeah. So funny.
Literally.
I couldn't just go and like, this is what I like. Like that's,
exactly.
But some people
were,
do that.
If you were
some
like,
people do that.
Bushwick okay. Pouring water on yourself, you would be going in and like picking something we didn't even say. Like
picking something you didn't even say. Do people do that?
No one's
people
allowed.
People see.
People will say like neither.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've had
yeah,
that
no,
before.
I don't have that sort of confidence.
Or we'll make fun rare. Of us for the thing we said rather than just like accepting that we're the authority and picking one.
Some people
oh, yeah,
try
no,
to
I'm
do
the
like,
subordinate here.
Some people try to do like a bit off yeah, of what we yeah. said and sort of like, that's actually incorrect. Yeah. That is
no.
wrong.
No. Okay.
This is supposed to be,
wow.
We did say rapid fire.
We did say rapid fire. Oh, that's the other thing is some people don't get the rapid fire part and will like really think about it and try to talk through each one. And we're like, we have 8 of these to get
yeah.
through.
should right. we get into the topic?
I'm really excited for this topic, actually.
Taylor, please tell us what topic you brought and a little bit about what makes it straight.
The topic I brought was rom-coms because think about it. Every single one is straight.
Right, right.
I think
sure.
it speaks for itself.
That's one of my favorite justifications for generally anything is because... Think about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, true.
Yeah, it is sort of. Yeah, it is crazy sometimes, to ask you, what is it about rom-coms that you think is straight?
Yeah.
Well, I think the idea of a rom-com is truly like, has become nostalgic in the way that like right-wing people like are
totally.
Nostalgic about like traditional family values.
Yes.
Like the way people, you know, that new Sidney Sweeney, Glenn Powell movie.
Which every, did so well.
So,
did
but
so
every
well.
Interview, it's like, we need to bring back rom-coms. Why are they gone? Don't you guys remember Meg Ryan? And it's like, we've now been doing that for longer than rom-coms were originally popular.
Yeah.
Like, we've now been saying we miss rom-coms and oh, how amazing, you know, 27 Dresses was longer than the like, basically 15-year period.
Are people citing 27 Dresses?
Someone recently, our friend
one?
Steven, I think.
And I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked
no,
it.
Someone was literally like, that was the last one and the era ended there. That
oh.
was the last great rom-com. And I was like, oh, interesting. I'd never
I think that might
thought
be true.
About that. But
oh,
I think it is.
Set It Up. Set It Up's good.
Oh, I love
I've never
set
seen
it.
Set It Up.
Set It Up is Glenn Powell before he became
big.
You know, capital G, capital P, Glenn
Tay
Powell.
Tay Diggs, Lucy Liu.
Yes.
It's two bosses.
Oh, I remember her
Zoe
this
Deutsch,
one.
Yeah.
Zoe Deutsch.
Okay.
So good. That one's very good.
That's a good one. But no, they basically have been releasing them pretty regularly this whole time. But there's just this idea. I understand that it was a little more regular in like the 90s and the 2000s. And also that the stars were bigger there. Like it was literally
yeah.
Julia Roberts doing it. And not, no offense, Zoe Deutsch.
Oh, I love her.
I mean,
I wish she had
great.
Been in. I really wish she had been in the new one with Glenn Powell.
Because
I thought they were so good together.
Yeah. I know, we love Sydney Sweeney, but I don't know if I see her as a rom-com lead.
I love her to death. She yeah. saved my life.
Of course.
But I am starting to be like, Why do I love you again?
Yeah.
And I don't... Yeah. I mean, I hope to God I run into her at a party and can make eye contact she's and doing compliment a horror her
movie
jacket.
She's doing a horror movie where she plays a nun. Did you know that?
I did. It's starting to confuse me, the whole vibe.
I think she's great in, like, more dramatic... Yes. Unhinged
I kind
roles.
Of agree. She's actually not a comedian.
No, as it turns out.
She would be terrible at hosting after midnight.
Oh, get her on. Get
it was between me and Sydney.
On.
It was between me and Sydney.
Yeah.
I don't know. That movie didn't quite hit for me.
That's sort of what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But everyone saw it.
Yeah. No, everyone saw it.
We all saw it.
Well, I didn't see it, but.
So, rom-coms.
Besides Sam.
What is your relationship with rom-coms?
I loved rom-coms growing up. When I was complicit in straight culture.
Of course.
But like, yeah, as an adult, I think I'm nostalgic for like a few of them. Like I really like My Best Friend's Wedding.
Love My Best Friend's Wedding.
But it is a very straight movie besides.
Well, they get to have a little gay guy.
They do. A little gay.
That's rare.
They do sing. That's true. But just the whole premise of her being like, oh, actually I do want that guy. And being in competition with another woman who's much younger.
Like 21. Yeah.
Who's a fucking child. Yeah. When you go back and watch it, you're like, I don't remember this part where she quits school.
Oh my God.
I know. I love that one. I love the Meg Ryan ones.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks. Can't go wrong.
Yes. Can't go wrong.
Meg Ryan's cool.
I'm trying to think, like, the culture around them has changed a lot. In, like, I'm thinking about, like, the rom-com, like even the words like chick flick used to mean something.
Yeah.
And now, now no one says that in a way where I'm like, what is that saying about
us? Well, I do think people don't say that because it was decided that it was sexist.
Well, of course. But I think I'm like.
But it rhymes.
But it rhymes. And I'm more like, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
Well, it needs to be reclaimed is the thing. Because chick flick was
So we can have girl dinner, but we can't have chick flick?
Exactly. Yeah, girl dinner doesn't even rhyme.
What am I supposed to watch while I'm eating my film?
Well, it was like created by men to be like condescending.
Yeah. It needs to come back as an empowerment narrative.
And people did take down girl dinner after like
That's
a week
true.
Of it being popular. They're like,
That's
this
true.
Is an eating disorder. And you're like, it's a charcuterie board.
Yeah,
but
right.
Calm down.
Yeah.
It's a charcuterie board. I guess what I'm okay. So before I was saying, I can't remember if this was off mic or not, but I was saying that like one of my sort of hatery opinions is when people are nostalgic about that era of rom-coms, something that is not discussed is how many of them are very bad, like truly very bad. I tried, and no offense if people like this movie, I tried rewatching How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, it's horrible.
Is horrible.
Yeah.
I tried to watch that and I was like, it's also so, everything is so regressive.
It's regressive.
It's like dark. It's sort of like, it honestly brings up like trauma.
Yes.
It's like, oh, this used to be culture. And this was like how you were supposed to act as a man and how you're supposed to act as a woman in a way that was psychotic.
Well, it's also like before Matthew McConaughey became an ironic version of himself, he was just like hot muscle guy.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like there was no irony in her being like, I want man. And then him just like being like muscly and southern and sort of Republican coded.
Yeah.
It is so funny to me that he writes about that in his book, right? That he like started turning down millions of dollars because he didn't want to do rom-coms anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to do The Lincoln Lawyer.
Right, which, thank God.
Thank God, in Dallas Buyers Club.
So you sort of think, I like the phrasing that he's an ironic version of himself.
Well, I think, okay, it's sort of like one of the few paths available to people of that stature of like, I mean, it's like, very different thing. But Nicolas Cage, too, is an ironic version of himself. Like, so many people that had a big, big, big moment. Nicolas Cage is different because he has more fun with it and he's more aware of it. And he sort of has always been an ironic version of himself. But I'm thinking, like, even Brad Pitt is going through an extended period of being like, isn't it funny that I'm Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that everyone's still okay with me, even though my kids don't speak to me?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, so scary.
It's kind of like doing a humorous character as a defense mechanism a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it works so well.
Yeah.
It's weird that like, it's like, oh, okay. Well, he's self-aware. So what am I going to say?
Right. Yeah. How do you guys feel about When Harry Met Sally?
Love.
Well, I love When Harry Met Sally.
I love it, but so, so problematic.
Yeah.
It is just men and women can't be friends the whole time. And then is ultimately the case at the end.
I mean, like, what's tough is like, yes, it's problematic, but it's so refreshing to have very clear cut like ideology. Right. You're just sort of like this, that talk about like set up punchline. It's like, okay, thesis, men and women can't be friends.
Yeah.
What is the outcome?
I also kind of like, I feel like the, like Harry is sort of like, he is supposed to be an asshole. So like him having this opinion isn't like, this is the correct opinion.
That's true.
It's
That's
sort of
true.
Like, this guy's an asshole.
But it is the correct opinion as proven by the film.
Right.
And
right.
They do end up together. So it's like, how big an asshole is he?
I actually think you're pointing to something really interesting, which is like, it's almost like rom-coms basically like ironically confirm conservative family values.
Yeah.
Ideas. Like it's sort of like, the ideal rom-com is what? It's like a career woman that doesn't think she needs a man, but twist, she does.
Yep.
Like, it's literally, that is what the humor is.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of the plot of Madame Web as well.
Well, of course. I mean,
did
one of my favorite.
Did you see Madame
Web? Oh, we saw
it. We have spent like five episodes talking about Madame Web.
Taylor, this is coming out. This is going to come out in a month or two.
Yeah.
And this will be so irrelevant. And I'm going to take this time and say, run, don't walk.
Oh, yeah. You have to go while it's still in theaters.
Okay.
IMAX if possible.
Oh, yeah. We love Madame Web. I mean, talk about a great Sydney Sweeney performance. But yes, no, but don't you think like that is sort of like the humor? And I think that's almost okay because it's like we should have enough of a, I don't know, it's not like people are being brainwashed. Like the audiences are smart enough to be like, this is a movie. It's not like I'm going to leave and quit my job as a woman and try to marry Matthew McConaughey.
Right. And it is a job.
And it is a woman. Being a woman.
But when I was like a kid, I did feel like.
Yeah.
I do think rom-coms are a big reason that for years I was like, I need a man to choose me.
Totally.
Which is humiliating.
Yeah. What was your favorite?
I mean, When Harry Met Sally is my number one.
I watch it every time it like even kind of rains.
Yeah.
Like I love that movie. I know I'm criticizing it.
It really shocked me because I watched it for the first time maybe like 5 years ago or something.
Same. I was
and
late.
It was like, it reminded me, like, a few other movies have happened where I'm, like, enjoying, and then, like, at the end, I'm just crying, like, fully crying and can't stop, and it was, like, wow, it really got me.
Yeah. Sweet Home Alabama?
That I haven't rewatched as an adult. Does that hold up?
I actually think it does hold up.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it a few months ago. I was also on the road, so I was sad I had road glasses on.
I want to know, what do you feel is, like, are the queer rom-coms translating well? Is there a way, is there something lacking from the sort of adaptations for the queer ones?
A lot of people hated Happiest Season.
That's true. But the thing is, queer people hate, I'm saying this as a queer person who hates everything. I'm not like judging, but it's like, yeah, it's different. Like, it's difficult to be like, this is a crowd pleaser for gay people.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you think I'm going to be pleased?
Right.
You think I'm going to be pleased? You think I'm going to be pleased? Like, truly, don't you?
No,
like, it's just like a different thing. Like, straight people, it's like, the way that straight, here's what I'll say about straight people. Their flexibility is actually really commendable because so often it'll be like, a woman drags a guy to something. A guy drags a woman to a sports game. And everyone just has to sort of be okay with like seeing something they don't actually like in a way that actually is harder for gay people. Like, I cannot imagine someone dragging me to an event that I fully don't like, that I fully don't want to be at, and me being like, sure, sweetie.
No, I'm impossible. I need to be doing something I want at all times. It's horrible. To take me home for like Thanksgiving is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You're like, what are they serving?
Literally.
Truly. And it's like, well, I maybe can make it. Like,
I remember I dated someone for 6 years who was from LA, and we would visit their parents in LA, and they would be like, oh, we're going on a hike. It's really like a 25-minute hike. And I'd be like, I don't really like hiking.
Like, if you need someone to do this with you, we can find someone.
Yeah.
We can find someone to do this.
There's something about like, okay, so when you like start being gay.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, I'm deciding to like pursue what I know I like, despite all the odds. Here I go. Mm-hmm. And then it's sort of like, and now you want me to
compromise more?
You want me to compromise? I just told you I'm not compromising anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I'm being my full I'm showing up as my full authentic self, and now I have to go on a hike?
And I do think, like, I even feel like then it becomes, you almost get rewarded for, like, the more, like, like self fulfilling path you go down where you're like,
yes,
I want, now I'm learning I'm this. And it's like, oh, cool. I'm in such a journey of self-discovery, whereas straight people like to be like, I'm done. Like,
yeah.
Like straight people almost have the opposite where they're like, yeah, I was really into like punk music when I was 22, but now I just cook. Now I just turn on the news and cook.
No, it really is true. It is
turn on the news and cook.
There is something sort of refreshing about it. Like it's sort, I think if you're straight, you basically until the age of 26, 27, you're like, okay, well, that was fun. Now time to go to church, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a different vibe.
Yeah. But so to go back to the rom-com thing, I do think there's just a different like critical environment that you're releasing a queer movie into than a straight movie into.
Mm.
And like you sort of, the politics of queer relationships are so raw, like post-marriage equality, like in the midst of everyone figuring out, you know, new ways of being in relationships and new ways of loving one another and whatever, it is very difficult to make like a very simple romantic movie that everyone can agree is good.
Yeah.
Whereas the traditions are just way more like well-trodden for straight people. And it's like, sure, you can make a regressive rom-com or a feminist rom-com, but it all sort of has the same makings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like the gay guy rom-com, you're like, so are they open or not?
Exactly. So are they open or not? Why are they? Why? So one of them is muscular, or are both of them muscular?
So he's into muscle guys.
He's into muscle guys.
So then why was he dating a non-muscle guy at the beginning?
What is the age gap? Like,
oh, so he's a Hell's Kitchen gay. This doesn't speak to me.
This doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what movie's great that just came out? My girlfriend and I saw it yesterday. Is Love Lies Bleeding?
I want to see that. Wait,
it's
is that the Kristen Stewart?
Yes.
I've been wanting to go to that alone while I'm here as a sort of like punk rock. Like I'm going alone to a lesbian movie.
Oh my god, it's so good, and it's like, it's under 2 hours, which nothing is anymore, and it should have been another 30 minutes. Like it flies by. It's so, so good.
I pretty much think Kristen Stewart should win a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I think she should definitely get an Olympic gold medal.
I think she should get an Olympic gold medal for lesbian, and I think she, it really is commendable that she'll do one big budget thing because she needs to, because she has to, you know, make money, but then she always goes back to...
Does she need to make money, though? Because Twilight, I don't think she actually does need to make money.
Yeah, this is interesting.
And what's the last, like,
that's
big
a good,
budget thing she's done?
Point. Charlie's Angels, which was a huge flop, famously.
I liked Charlie's Angels. I liked her in it,
yeah.
I should say.
I never saw it.
I just liked her wearing so many
you
wigs.
You and the rest of America.
She wore so many outfits.
Sure,
it was so fun.
That is, like, you know it failed when I didn't see it. Like, that's
no, me
for
too. Because that is sort of a classic thing that maybe you and I would see, like, as a joke. And we didn't even do that.
That's tough.
I mean, she was in those Snow White movies. That was a long time ago, obviously.
Was that a big deal? I never saw that.
I think there were big budget, at least.
Yeah,
there were two, they were big budget. And then she had the affair or something. There was like some scandal. I don't even think it was a full affair, but...
Yeah, there was drama.
There was drama.
But I do like that she is a real... she's just a real indie girl at heart.
And you know, what's beautiful about this podcast is that you can find footage of me 2 years ago being like, I hate Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I was rewatching the Twilight movies and I was like, these, like trying to like watch them sort of ironically. And I was like, no, this is annoying to watch.
They're not
like,
for you.
No, they're not.
Say that.
And by the way, talk about movies that you think would you could ironically watch, but they're actually just bad.
Yeah.
I look, I was 11 when those books came out. So I read them in real time.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I can ironically watch them with friends of mine who are the same age, who went through the same thing, and go, do you remember when this was our whole personality for 2 years?
Yeah.
Like when we were children and this did it for us? Because it's fast, especially if you like grew up religious and there's all this weird abstinence
well,
like
in
it. Yeah, yeah.
Propaganda, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And just knowing how much he hated doing it. Like, I think they all hated doing it.
Yeah.
It's like 50, well, I've never seen this either, but it's like 50 Shades of Grey, how famously all of them hated.
I mean, I tried to watch that. That's terrible.
Really?
I can't get through. I couldn't get through that one.
I mean,
but I never read the books.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There you go.
It wasn't like
and those books were Twilight fan fiction? Isn't
yes.
that
yes. Yes.
That like spun out into
we are
this.
So far from The Shallow.
Yeah.
Wow. But,
okay.
But yeah, now I just let the record show.
Yes, now you like her.
Now I like her.
Have you seen Personal Shopper?
No, you told me that when I hated on her
she
last
goes
time,
to,
2 years.
It's a scary movie, right?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like more moody than scary. She goes to France and talks to the ghost of her brother.
Okay.
Who's dead.
Oh.
Well, that's why he's a ghost.
That's why he's a ghost. Yeah. No, he is not just a ghost identified alive person. He's dead. And she's also a personal shopper, so she's constantly going through these gorgeous dresses for her, for her big client. Okay.
Okay.
Rom-coms.
Rom-coms. I feel that we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like what we're missing in the general...
Well, okay. Something about rom-coms is the idea of charisma. Like, it really is like such a showcase for just personality. Like, think of a Julia Roberts or a Meg Ryan, or who are the other iconic?
Sure.
Richard Gere, like... Even Matthew McConaughey.
It's about like falling in love with the actor.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon. And I do something I feel like people say now, which I guess I semi agree with, is that because everything is so like AI generated and like someone is like scrolling through TikTok trying to find what girl has the most likes.
Right.
Like where is the raw star power of a Julia Roberts? Who has it these days?
Who has it?
I think Zoe Deutsch has it.
You do?
I really do.
That is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the reason I'm saying it's fascinating is because Zoe Deutsch is one of those names I've been hearing for truly 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. Could not think of what her face looks like.
I'm literally going to Google.
Oh, yeah. No, you'll see it and be like, oh my gosh, of course. She did a rom-com.
Yeah.
Like a Christmas rom-com.
Okay.
Which is called Something from Tiffany's, I think.
Okay.
And that was cute.
Okay, interesting.
I thought that was cute.
Why do they always have the Wikipedia pictures be like...
I recognize her only from Set It Up because I remember her being in Set It Up.
I think she has rom-com charisma.
Okay, well, you heard it here first.
But I don't know who else. I mean, it's hard because I feel like if somebody has it, they get pulled into doing more dramatic stuff and then you're like, oh, they're not.
Well, you know who has it? Glenn Powell. I really think Glenn Powell has screen presence.
Yeah, he's charming. I'm like, I can't think of anyone. Like, I'm like... All I can ever think of is the Euphoria girls.
I know.
Course.
I'm like, would Zendaya, is Zendaya too serious to do a rom-com?
I think she would never.
Yeah.
I think so. Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling.
Well, of course.
But
I would say maybe those are the last two rom-com leads. And of course, now they're too big to do a silly rom-com.
Oh, speaking of, have you seen Anne Hathaway?
Oh, I'm excited about that one.
Speaking of literally people that should not be doing silly rom-coms,
that was like,
show off.
I was like, what? Like, evil contract did they sign to
it's
get her in here?
It's actually crazy.
And I celebrate it because I want to see it.
I'm so excited for it.
Me too. Listen, I'm all in. You know, it's based on Harry Styles, I guess.
It's like One Direction fanfiction.
It's like One Direction fanfiction.
I didn't
know
this.
And they got Anne Hathaway. It's so funny.
Also, I'm sorry, but like the whole thing is like Anne Hathaway literally looks like a Barbie doll. And everyone's like, that old hag is dating Harry Styles? That ugly bitch?
Are people saying
that? No, not like people, real people, but in the movie. It's like, it's that the whole thing is like there's like an age difference and she's like older.
And people are calling her ugly? I feel like maybe...
Not okay, but you know what I mean?
It's between the lines.
It's like...
I think maybe people are like, you're a little old for him, but no one's like,
but don't you think that...
Ugly.
If Harry Styles in real life dated... Although, I guess he did date someone older, and people were rude to her.
Yeah.
And she's also stunning and gorgeous.
But they were mad at her because they were like, you left your husband for him
or
something, which I don't even know if that's true.
I mean, I love her to death, but doesn't have the charisma of Anne Hathaway, unfortunately.
Who does?
Who among us?
Who among us?
Yeah.
That was an interesting. She did a few. Remember Love and Other Drugs?
I loved Love and Other Drugs. They were again. That's,
they were great together.
They're so.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a question. Have you seen The Breakup starring Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn?
I have not.
Have you?
No.
Okay. So I have no idea if it holds up.
But I've seen clips of it on TikTok. Posted by straight people who are like really.
So the whole like innovation of that movie and any, you know, spoiler is that they remain broken up at the end. They don't get together. And at the time I remember being like, this is the most radical work of art I've ever seen. Like it is literally a rom-com where at no point they break up in the beginning. And the whole plot I think is that they have to still share a house. So they are like just hating each other constantly, trying to date, blah, blah. There is a moment where they could get back together, but they don't. And then at the end, I think the last scene is like 6 months later, they ran into each other on the street and they're just sort of like, good to see you.
I saw that on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I saw the part where she's like crying and upset with him for not trying harder. That's why I'm like, is that a comedy?
You know,
that's, you know,
it's a classic movie that has the beats of a comedy and is marketed as a comedy, but I do agree with you, not so much slapstick humor happening.
Yeah, that feels like a relationship film.
But I think Love and Other Drugs is like that too. Like, it's not laugh out loud funny.
I think there's a lot. He's selling dick drugs.
That's
He's selling
true.
Viagra.
I mean, that's just
I'm laughing.
I'm laughing.
And once again, the dick is the thing that unites us all, much like Sam's catheter.
I feel this is one of those episodes where I'm like, damn, you really think, I don't consider myself like a hermit mm-hmm. of media. And I'm like, I haven't seen any of these movies.
Really?
I've seen for almost
You've all
the movies.
You've seen all the like old ones, like the Meg Ryan ones.
Sure.
You saw You've Got Mail.
I've seen You've Got Mail.
Yeah, Sleepless in Seattle.
I've seen Sleepless in Seattle, but yeah.
You've Got Mail is such like sort of late 90s Upper West Side porn. It's like you're just like, if only I could be teleported there.
I know.
They also, okay, here's something that I feel is lacking. Even just the men being like normal hot yeah. doesn't exist
yes.
anymore.
Well, that's everybody.
That's everybody.
Who is our Tom Hanks?
Who's normal hot?
I think it might have been Glenn Powell before he got ripped. Like, set it up, he's not ripped yet.
Interesting.
And he's just like, you know, a good looking dude.
Yeah.
But someone you could imagine working near.
Having a normal job.
Yeah, but then in the new movie, you're like, who's this?
Yeah.
This is not, everyone was so unbelievably hot in, what's the new one called?
Anyone But You.
Okay. I was going to say Australia Hot Date. I like literally couldn't think of it.
Title.
I literally couldn't think of it. They're so like hot in it. It yeah. just feels uncomfortable.
You know, it was also, if we're talking about recent ones, what was also, I feel like, a pivotal moment is when they tried to do one with Julia Roberts and George Clooney, like,
yeah.
like a year ago. For older people.
Yeah.
I watched it with my grandma.
I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Solid, you know, 2.5 out of 5. Like, you know. Like,
they wanted to go on vacation. And I'm glad they got to
go. And I am so happy for them. Because I was worried. I said, I know Julia hasn't been on vacation in a while.
Taylor, for season 2 of After Midnight, you have to pitch After Midnight Island Edition.
Yes.
After Island.
After Island. Well, when we had Jeff Probst on, which everyone was fighting over.
Yeah, we got in big fights backstage.
And once I met him, I understood why. He's fantastic.
He's incredible.
He's such a great guy. And yeah. I cannot imagine. Do they film that on an island?
Oh, yeah.
Fully on an
it's
island.
It would be really funny island. If it was a studio.
Well, I don't know.
Like
it's
Big Brother. Like,
nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, no, it's an
so
island.
So he just lives on an island all the time.
Truly for like half the year. He just is like on an island.
Crazy.
It's wild, actually.
Does he have a family?
I think he does.
And they're just on the island with him?
Or maybe they're like...
I should have asked him all these questions when he was like, does anyone have any questions in front of our studio audience? I should be like, where's your family?
What's your relationship with your family? Because I can't imagine.
How often do you see
it's
your
easy.
Kids?
Wouldn't it be so isolating to be someone like that who literally, there is no other person in the universe that has a similar job or life to him.
Oh,
there
totally.
He cannot relate to, like, he can't have a conversation like we can with another comedian or with another writer where it's like, yes, we are different. Maybe someone's more successful or less successful, whatever, but you can find common ground. He can find common ground with zero people.
I mean, Nikki Glaser, Fuckboy Island. That's on an
that's
island.
True. Oh, that's
yeah.
true.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe it's Fuckboy Island and Deal or No Deal Island and Survivor.
It's the island multiverse.
The island multiverse.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
You know, putting something on an island, really great business idea, ultimately.
Well, it's such
we should do our podcast on an island.
If we did Stradio Lab Island Edition,
yeah.
I would be having a blast.
Well, see you in Greece.
Yeah. One thing I want to say about Jeff Probst being there also, which I was addicted to, was that, like, you know, everything is, like, non-judgmental towards the guests. And then Jeff, he's so used to being like, well, you're losing and you're winning.
Yeah.
And he like, did that. And I was like, this is intoxicating.
Yeah. No, it was really, he was fantastic. And so warm and just like, he really... I felt like anybody who wasn't a Survivor fan was like, that's the greatest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea.
I mean, you can't invent, like, that kind of charisma, that kind of screen presence is just once in a generation.
Once in a generation. There was a point where Ismail and Michelle handed him the wrong script, and he was like, are you guys fucking with me? And I was like, I can't believe I got to hear him say that.
Are you guys having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
No.
Because I feel like it's fun, but also... What do I know?
No, I actually do want to use this time as we go towards the end. I'm having a blast. It's actually, I've complained about moving to LA.
Right, which you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like my first question. Like the one time we all got to hang out, I was like, who hates it here? And everyone's like, you know, it's fine. I was like, safe space. And Isabel was like, I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's a big adjustment, but getting used to it. But the job I actually really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very fun. The room is great. We all get along really well. And in a way, because I knew Joe before and I knew Michelle.
Right. You all came from Z-Way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody else was like strangers. And it's like, oh, this really works well.
Yeah.
And it's fun to write for you. You're nice. Very flexible, and it's cool to see you do this.
I do make you explain to me internet terms. This week I was like, what is baby? Like, what exactly is baby? I'm like, is it like Baby Girl? And Sam goes, I mean, it's, you're younger. It's like Baby Girl, but you're younger. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, I understood.
I mean, it's funny to age into being someone who actually does learn about internet stuff, like from a show like After Midnight. Like, yeah. I remember when the original At Midnight was on being like, well, I'm on Twitter all day, so like, this is for old people. Like, this feels, you know, sort of like explaining something I already know or something. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, like, when you explain a trend, I'm like writing it down. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't heard about this.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many different, like, pockets, especially of TikTok. Like, I sent Joe Firestone a trend that I've maybe only gets sent to me. Have you seen the ones where it's like, ask your friends which one you are? And it's a slideshow, and it's just like different colors of green. Oh, or like different seasons, or like one was like, what's your set? It's like pirate, mummy, you know, fucking vampire. And I've been sending her so many, because I was very sick last weekend, and I was like, I don't know if this is anything. I'm really ill, but maybe this is something. And then I just started sending her a lot. I was like, I hope you like just getting these. And I go, I would like to be, you know, I would like to be emerald. I am olive, unfortunately. Mm. Like, it gets very addicting.
Interesting.
I mean, I can see how that would be a fun thing to do.
God, the power of personality tests and anything personality test oriented. Just like,
yeah.
We that's all exactly just want to be like, I pick five. These five are me.
And that's what it is. Yeah. It's a personality test that you don't want to take.
And they're getting like, you would think that as we get further along in the history of the internet, they would get more complicated and more interesting. But it's literally becoming just people grunting at one another. Just sort of like, which corner of the room are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, people are getting lazy with it.
People are getting so lazy. Like, I'm seeing, have you seen the Instagram ones that are like, choose five, and it's just like 100 random musicians? Not even like, it'll be like Mariah Carey, Iron Maiden. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. That actually bums me out, because sometimes I'll see like people that I think are cool do it, and I'm like, oh, another person has fallen.
Yeah. Like, I know.
Oh my God. I've been so scared to post anything on TikTok since I started this job.
Oh, I'm sure.
So like, I'm so intimidated by the writer's room. Like, I just want everyone to think I'm cool, because everyone's like younger and cooler than me. And I'm like, I can't do a trend. Like, my social media manager is like, let's do this trend on TikTok. And I'm like, you guys, I can't, because everyone will see, because it's their job to follow me. And I can't go in and show my face and just be like, yeah, we're all just working comics out here. And I just lip synced something that morning. It's so embarrassing.
It's social media in general is, it's a shameful place.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so hard to do it with tact.
We gotta move on. We gotta go back to the island, honestly.
We need to go back to the island.
Yeah. But like, I feel like COVID was a huge shift for people being haters about like posting clips online for stand up. Because then COVID happened, and it was like, everybody just do what you can to stay afloat. And people were shitting on, you know, those of us who were posting stuff. And then later on, we're like, hey, so who films your stuff? Like, everybody came around and was like, oh, I should have been doing that, because now everybody's selling tickets.
It's actually crazy how well it worked. And I never posted clips, and I'm like, well, now it's too late. Like, now
it's not too late. No, it's not too late, unfortunately.
Well, maybe I'll start, but I'm scared.
I kind of love that you can get great clips yourself, and then you don't have to like wait for a late night set. And that, like, I've discovered people that way because they came up on Reels.
True. It's funny, like, you see, you know, when you see someone do it poorly, or when you see a friend do it, you're like, oh God, how embarrassing. And then literally as a viewer, you do discover people and you're like, oh wow, that was great.
I mean, when we were going on tour and like booking like local guests,
comedians, that's how we found them. We found them online. What are we going to do? Like, go do like a scouting trip and find, you know, Seattle comedians? No, we just like look them up online.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Ask people and then they're just going to tell you their friend. Right. And they come and it's terrible. And I'm like, okay, I've asked the wrong person.
No, we need to really.
This is.
We're bad at our jobs.
We're bad at our jobs. Okay. We always have been, and we always will be. I mean, that's part of our charm.
That's part of our charm.
No, I'm always impressed by people who succeed and didn't have to do any of the embarrassing things
that the
rest of us had
to
do.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I've always been like, I was like, I'm going to be that. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, it's you got to be embarrassing.
You have to be embarrassing. There's no way around
it. Cheers to being embarrassing.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers
to that. Hey, I'll drink to that.
Taylor, any final thoughts on rom-coms?
Ooh, I'm trying to think if I forgot any. It does seem crazy that there aren't more queer ones.
I mean, I think they're really rushing them out. Like, we've even mentioned so many, and all of them came out in the last, like, 3 years.
Well, I
know. That's what I'm saying. Besides us, there was that one. Is it Maybe I Do? The one with Piper Perabo?
Yes. And
where her
exactly
flower person at her wedding.
Yes, yes, yes. And the cover is her holding the hand of the other woman behind the groom.
Yes.
Whatever, I can't remember. Kissing Jessica Stein is great. Also, there used to be just like an industry of literally like, you know, you go to the LGBT section of a Blockbuster and there would be like, there's this one called Trick, and it's with like two gay guys that are dating and one of them is friends with Tori Spelling. And like,
there is, I mean, that's a premise.
That's a premise.
That's a premise.
There were like gay movie festival. Like, there was this like, there were these like B movies that were basically like gay rom-coms that would never be shown at like AMC.
Right.
Yeah. But it was, you know, our culture.
It was a beautiful culture.
And it was a beautiful culture.
Should we do our final segment?
We should. I don't have one, but I will think of one.
I have one.
Okay.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Taylor, our final segment is called Shoutouts, and in this segment, we pay homage to the grand straight tradition of the radio shoutout by giving a shout out to anything that we are enjoying. People, places, things, ideas. Imagine it's 2001 and you're at TRL shouting out to your squad back home, and we will go first. I actually have one that you better believe is catheter related.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
What's up, freaks, losers, and perverts around the globe? I want to give a huge shout out to Baggy Pants. That's right. Baggy Pants are trendy, 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 and I could not be more grateful because, you know, if I had a catheter in 2007, oh honey, I'd be suffering. You'd be seeing the pouch through the damn skinny jeans. But because I have Baggy Pants, I'm completely camouflaged. No one knows a thing. I sort of, you know, when he told me I would have to wear this till Monday, I thought, well, this is the worst news I've ever received in my life. And now I'm sort of like, whatever, who cares? I can wear this for another week. Let me out and about. No one has any idea. I don't need to pee because of, and I can't. And I actually, well, but sort of am peeing the whole time into my pouch and my baggy pants. So shout out to Baggy Pants. I love you. And shout out to Trends. Woo. Woo.
Oh, wait, should I change my last? Okay, I'm going to do two. Get ready.
Oh, my God.
What's up, chicas and chicos out there in all the land, especially everyone nominated for Academy Awards tonight? I want to give a shout out to, first of all, The idea of an Issoise salad. I have been eating so many fast casual salads while here because I'm just sort of on the go as a busy, professional, successful comedian. And I have become partial to the tender greens in Issoise salad. We're talking seared tuna. We're talking potatoes. We're talking olives. We're talking green beans. I repeat, green beans. The French snapped when they came up with that one. And my second shout out is I want to give a shout out to the actress Vera Farmiga. As I said before we started recording, I recently watched Up in the Air, which she's incredible in, and she's also famously in The Departed. We need to bring her back and get her out of sort of the horror movie. She's great in horror movies, but we need her in a sort of I'm trying to think who, like an older woman who's a boss and who's evil, but then at the end you figure out it's because she had to sacrifice so much. We need a good meaty role for Vera Farmiga. We need to get her in a you know, Steven Soderbergh movie. We need a Vera renaissance, a Vera-sance. And that is how I feel. And shout out to Up in the Air, and shout out to Jason Reitman, the director who directed both Up in the Air and the film I recommended last week, which is Young Adult. Wow. Amazing shout out for me.
No, that was so really good.
You couldn't tell we've been doing this for 4 years.
It's always nice to, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Can I come up with something from the episode?
Absolutely.
Or do I have to do something else?
We always come up with them.
It's very
on
loose.
The spot.
It's very
okay, great. Very loose. I'm going to give a shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to two things. One, getting enough protein, which is unfortunately very helpful. I really didn't want that to be true, but it is. Fucking sucks. And I'm also going to give a shout out to Kristen Stewart for doing such a great job in Love Lies Bleeding and making Sam come around as a hater.
Yeah. Yeah.
One Sam over. Yeah. Very impressed. Shout out to Kristen Stewart. We love you so much.
Wow. I can't wait to see Love Lies.
I know, that's going to be fun.
And there's the other lesbian movie that Ethan Coen directed. Do you know about that?
Oh, the doll, Drive Away Dolls?
Drive Away Dolls.
That was not good.
Oh, okay.
And which was so disappointing.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it was really disappointing.
But I still kind of want to see it.
That's how I felt. Yeah. But maybe wait.
I heard it's funny, but no. Okay. Got it.
It was one of those things where I'm like, this was so close.
Yeah,
where it just didn't come together, which was...
That's maybe the two brothers need each other, the Coens.
I think so. Where's that rom-com?
Yeah.
Where's Brotherly Love by the Coens?
That's how we queer it. Incestual.
Well, Taylor, this has been an absolute delight. Watch After Midnight on CBS.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the plug.
Thanks and for doing this.
See Taylor
really appreciate it.
Yes, whenever that happens.
Whenever that happens. And checking out from Strader Lab HQ. Bye.
Bye.
Podcast ends now.
Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/StraderLab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.